Mr. Tate, can you grab my slides up there for me? Well, good morning. I'm glad you guys are here. You're here. I'm here. We're here together, which is awesome. So I'm glad you guys are here this morning. Lots of things that we can be watching, places we could be, beds and pillows we could be cuddling with until noon. But yet we choose to come here, and I'm grateful for that and grateful that we're here this morning. My hope is the same hope that I have every week when we're here is that we would engage. So if you don't have a Bible or a pen or a bulletin, raise your hand. One of the student leaders would love to bring you whatever you need. If you need tabs or a highlighter, whatever it looks like for you to engage, my hope is that you would engage. My hope is also that you would use Sunday mornings as a preparatory tool for small groups on Wednesday night. That as you hear me teach on Sunday mornings, you would take notes and tab where we're going to be in your Bible on Wednesday and the things that you're questioning or things that are said by me or God's word that you're like, that doesn't make sense to me. My hope is that Sunday would be a way to be fed with God's word and then prepare to talk about it on Wednesday nights. If you're not in a small group or if Wednesdays isn't a priority, I would encourage you to make midweek small groups a priority. I would encourage you to take what we're talking about and what you're hearing on Sundays and discuss it. It's so important for you guys to have a voice. It's so important for you guys to be heard, for you guys to figure this stuff out, because it does no good if I just share and you hear, but then we don't own it. We don't talk through it. So my hope is that as you engage this morning, you do so in a way to prepare for Wednesday night with your small groups. Well, hey, before we jump in to week number three, I wanted to just do a quick series review that I think I can sum up the series so far in one long run-on sentence. And this is it. The cosmological and teleological arguments are the two strongest arguments in favor of God, the intelligent designer, creating the universe by organizing and adding to it. A long run-on sentence, I am sure. But there's a lot here that we have already discovered the last 2 weeks. And if you've missed a Sunday, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast that's online. If you heard it and you're like, man, I want to re-listen to it because I think I need to rehear some things, then go listen to it again. But this sentence really breaks down what we have done the past 2 weeks. And what we've done is we've looked at Genesis 1, verses 1 through 26, and then, or 25, and then we stopped. And today we're going to dive in a little bit longer through Genesis chapter 1. But for the last 2 weeks, we just sat with this story of creation, a story that took 6 days or 6 steps, a story of a God who has always been, who started from the beginning with water and darkness. An artist, a master artist, who was given a blank canvas and started to create. Started to take his canvas with the darkness and the waters and started, as he was hovering over them, to just separate. Started to organize, started to add to. He organized day and night, land and sea, sky. And then he added sun, moon, stars, birds, plants, vegetation. And not only did we see and hear this, but then we looked and asked the question of, could this actually be true? You know, the Bible answers some of life's biggest questions. And one of life's big questions is, how did we get here? The Bible gives an answer for that. And there's two arguments that we talked about that we can sit with and say, not only is the Bible giving an answer, but I think the answer is right. I think the answer is right. I think that the Bible is saying that God created the heavens and the earth, that from the beginning, and that we can actually look and say, the story we've been raised with our whole lives, the children's ministries that we grew up in where we did the little felt flannel graphs of creation and all this, that's not actually just a cool story, but it's a story that is true. So that's what we've been doing the last 2 weeks, and my hope is in small groups that you've uncovered this more. It has been awesome to hear from small group leaders, just the discussions that have been taking place. So what I want to do this morning is I want to dive into week number 3, and I want to kind of get past just the creation account of his adding and organizing. And I want to get to a separate part as we're going to finish chapter 1 this morning. But before we do that, I want to pray for us, and then we're going to dive right in to God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for creating the heavens and the earth. God, for organizing and adding. God, that science and logic can help prove the story. That science and logic, Lord, in these arguments, and as we sit with reason and uncover what you did in the first 6 days, God, it's not just a story. I believe with my whole heart that it is true. And God, thank you for giving us evidence to back that up. God, that we can sit in this truth. And that because it is true, it would actually be even more incredibly amazing for us. Be with us this morning in your name. Amen. Well, hey, week number 3, we're talking about God crafted humanity. Now, let me share something with you about me. I am a horrible craftsman. Okay, now I don't know what you think about when you think of craftsmanship, right? But whatever you think about, just put my face in there with a big red line through it and know that I'm horrible at it. My brother, however, was raised as an awesome craftsman. He loves using his hands to design food, to design furniture. And when we were growing up, he loved to craft Legos. Now, raise your hand in here if you are like a Lego nerd. Oh, only a few Lego nerds. Okay. Now, anyone in here just like Legos? Like, not a Lego nerd, but like Legos? Anyone in here never done a Lego in their life? Whoa. Wow. Okay. Great. I wish I never had done a Lego in my life because I suck at Legos. They're not fun for me. I don't know how to do them. If I'm trying to build a motorcycle, it ends up looking like an elephant. If I build a spaceship, it looks like a soccer ball. Like, I am horrible at Legos. I suck at them, and therefore they suck. My brother, however, loved Legos. And we shared a room, and one of the worst parts of sharing a room with him was on our left big wall, my parents built him this horrible, like, shelving unit that went from floor to ceiling, side to side, literally full of Legos. Total dork. Like, just Legos everywhere. Like the big ones, the little ones, the ones he would make, the ones that were like, and I used to like break them secretly when he was gone because I was secretly really jealous of his craftsmanship. That is not something that I was gifted with. So no thank you to Legos. I suck at them, and Legos, you suck. But this week, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about God crafting humanity. That as we've been kind of following this series, we've seen that God is an incredible artist. Look at what Alyssa has done over the last 2 weeks and really just in 40 minutes from week number 1 of taking paints, taking some tools, taking a canvas, taking something that started out with just darkness and water, and it became and is becoming something beautiful. God doesn't stop his creation and his artwork. God continues painting. He continues making more and more beauty. And this morning, I want to look at God as a craftsman as well. Not just as an artist who took something and made something incredibly beautiful. Something that I want to frame. Something that I'd love to sell so that we can make more scholarship money. Something that I'd love to put up in our rooms. But not only is God a beautiful artist, but God is also a craftsman. God is a potter. God is somebody who looks at all the intricate details and makes things perfect. I want to suggest that what we're talking about this morning may be the most important single Sunday morning I do ever in Overflow. That the topic that we're talking about this morning, for us as high school students, there may actually be nothing more important for us to grasp than what we are going to try to grasp this morning. The implications from what we're going to talk about today, I don't know as high school students if there's anything more important. And this morning we're talking about God crafting humanity. And as we look at God crafting humanity, I want you to keep in mind week two. Week two, we proved what? We proved that God exists and that the universe had a beginning, which proved that the Bible's story answer of how we got here is real. I want you to sit on that now when we talk about God crafting humanity. Because if God painted this picture, then as humans get added in, guess what he also did? Made us. We have to start understanding that this morning. And so I want you to lean back on week number two and not just listen to this as a story that you've heard 1,000 times before, but I want you to look at it with fresh eyes. Grab your Bibles. Everybody should have a Bible. And I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. This is our third week now to some regards, studying Genesis, looking at Genesis, unfolding Genesis, understanding Genesis. And really, we've just been sitting in chapter 1. We took 2 weeks in it, and now we're taking a third, and we're going to close out verses 26 through 31. So open up. If you've got your highlighter, feel free to highlight. I want you to follow along as I read, and then we're going to break this apart this morning. And I want you to engage this morning with what we are talking about. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 is where I'm going to start. Then God said, now remember, he just finished adding animals. So the land was creating vegetation, all this stuff. And what did everything have in common so far? Everything reproduces and continues creating, right? So now he's getting to the very last piece before he rests. Okay, so this is where we're at. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. That completes Genesis chapter 1. That completes his 6 days, his 6 steps, his 6 parts. Of the beginning of his beautiful piece. And day 6, he began his craftsmanship of humanity. If you're following along with us in your bulletins this morning, I want to sit with the very first few words in verse 26. That God created us. Verse 26, the first few words says, let us make mankind. Just for clarity, when he's referring to us, that's a reference to the Trinity. So that's one of the references where we look at God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Is that he says, let us make mankind. God created us. God created you. I want to stop here for a second. I want the lights to get turned off for a second. And I want you to shut your eyes. Shut your eyes. I want you to try to sink this into the corest part of your heart. God created you. God is responsible for you. God designed you. God existed. It is true that the God who hovered over the waters and the darkness, the God who separated light from dark, day from night, who created sky, land, sea, the creatures that fly in the air, the animals that walk across the ground, that God, think of the power that it takes to separate the sky. Think of the power that it takes to create the sun. Think of the magnificence that it takes to create the centipede, the elephant, the leopard, the lions. The person who invented the whale, the dolphin. God created you. God is your designer. He is the answer to how you got here. You got here because of God. Picture that awesomeness. Maybe picture either one you've seen or one you can imagine, the most beautiful morning sky ever. Maybe there's water behind it, mountains behind it. Maybe the colors are the most magnificent colors you've ever seen. Maybe it's another piece of nature. But picture the most beautiful piece of nature you could imagine. Maybe you're sitting in a valley with streams flowing to the right of you and to the left of you. You can hear the water with mountains, with snow caps behind you. Picture standing in the middle of the desert with 1,000 antelope running around you. The power of their legs and their body, their smell and their eyes. I simply want you to sit in awe. You have the answer. You have the answer to who is responsible for you. The intelligent designer, God, he is responsible for you. This is why when we have problems, joys, frustrations, this is why we go to him. You can open your eyes back up with me this morning. And I want us to sit in that from the very beginning this morning, because this matters. It matters. When my iPhone breaks, where do I go? I go to the designer, right? I go to the Apple store and I say, you need to fix this. When my TV doesn't work the way it's supposed to, what do? I go back to the creator who crafted the TV and I said, I need my warranty. I need this TV better. God, you can get the lights on, Tate. God is that person responsible for us. And that may hit us a ton of different ways, because some of us may not like what we see. But no matter how it hits you, you have the answer. You have the person that you get to go to. The second thing that I want us to look at in verse 26, it's the next six words that I want us to now kind of tear apart. And that is this, that God created us in his image and his likeness. So who created us? God created us. Sit in that awe. Sit in that wonder. Sit in that. And then look at how he created you. He created you in his image and in his likeness. We somehow portray God-like traits. Somehow, what he's saying in verse 26 is that we portray God-like traits. Let's think about that again, the whole series, for a second. The God who created all this incredible stuff, not only did he create us, but in verse 26, he lets us know that we were created like him. We were created in his image and in his likeness. So how does this work? Well, I want to kind of tease this out a little bit to help us understand this. And I think there's some easy analogies that will help us. So in Genesis, go to chapter 5 for a second. Everybody turn there. Go to chapter 5 and go to verse 3. And I want us to look at a couple things here that may help us see how we may better understand this God-likeness that we have, okay? So chapter 5, verse 3 says, when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Okay, now just very simply here, is there some common wording here that goes back to chapter 1? Yes, what is it? That Adam had a son. Adam's son name is what? And what does Seth portray? His likeness and his image. He looks like him a little bit. Okay, let's tease this out even dorkier. I have a daughter. Okay, this is my daughter, Lucy. If you haven't met Lucy, you're either blessed or lucky. Either one. That is not Lucy's dad. That is a fake penguin. Does Lucy look anything like that penguin? Answer is no. Okay? No, Lucy does not look like that penguin. She may waddle like him sometimes, right? She may make noises that aren't the most pleasant at times. But no, the penguin is not Lucy's daddy. I am Lucy's daddy. Lucy looks like me. Especially when she was bald when she was little. Poor girl did not get, oh, that's a precious little girl until she was like 2.5 years old. But poor girl, all the way up until she started growing hair, was, what a cute son. He looks just like you. It's like, Lizzie, it's okay. You'll be a girl one day. And now she's a girl. She's always been a girl. But for the 3.5 years she's been alive, and for those of you who have babysat her or been a part of her, it's what I hear all the time. Oh my gosh, she is your daughter. Oh, she talks about poop like you. She says weird words like you. She looks like you. She's goofy like you. Her mannerisms are like you. Man, that is your child. She is made in your likeness, and she is made in your image. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. It is always important that we continue to go to God's word to help us unpack these things. In Genesis 5, we see this likeness and image of Adam and his son Seth. Now, I want us to turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 28. It says this, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. We are his offspring. So the point is very simple on point number two right now. We're created by God. God created you. And he did so in a way where you resemble him. That just like Seth resembles his dad Adam and Lucy resembles me, we all resemble God. again, let that sink in. I hate these words I'm using this morning because I feel like there needs to be bigger, more powerful, like, ways to articulate what we are actually talking about. The God who created the DNA, the eyeball, the atmosphere, atoms, whatever it is, that God, we are his. And because of that, we resemble him. We look like him. We have mannerisms like him. Our heart has traits like his. Because of that, every person has worth, value, and dignity. Because we were created in his image by him, that means that we are tremendously valuable, that we have tremendous dignity, and that we have much worth. If I was Michael Jordan's son, or Kobe Bryant's son, which would be weird because we'd look a little different. If someone in this room was Princess Diana's daughter or cousin, or somebody here's uncle was President Trump, or you think of it, right? Whatever it is, automatically what happens? We're kind of like, oh, hey, did you know that guy, his dad's President Trump? Hey, her dad is Kobe Bryant. That's awesome. Hey, guess what? Your dad's God. That's cool. Automatically, because of whose we are, we have worth, we have value, and we have dignity. We have worth, we have value, and we have dignity. One thing that's important is that we're made with authority. We're made uniquely, and we were made to be different from the rest of creation. So let's step back again to all the things God first created. I want us to kind of visualize these things. And I want us to recognize, as the last piece of his addition into creation, we are very different. We're very different than the sky and the birds and the vegetation and the plants. And there's four ways that I think are important for us to recognize this morning of how we are different. Number one, we can communicate. Number two, we can intelligently think. Number three, we can create. Number four, we can deeply love. Now, can you argue that animals can communicate, think, create, love? Sure. But we would all agree that we do so on such a different, deep level. And we see God interact with us. We see God communicate with us in ways far different than the rest of his creation. We see God think and give us the ability to think far different than the antelope. We see God create us to be people who can continue to create far greater than fish in the sea. That we have these images, this likeness of God. As God communicates, we have an ability to communicate as well. As God thinks in intelligent ways, we too have the ability to think. As God creates and continues to create, we too have the ability to create. Look at what's been created over here to my left the last 3 weeks. God created us to create. This right here that's happening over here is because of the image and likeness that Alyssa carries from God. That God created and created us to create. That we get to be people who create beauty and wonder and awe. And we have a God who deeply loves us and creates us to deeply love our parents, our friends, our family. We do these things much different. We are different because we are Christ-like. You don't see anywhere else in Genesis 1 that says, and I created animals in my image, and I created birds in my image. It's different. That's why we didn't add in this into weeks 1 and 2. They're separate things to talk about. because we are different. We're not like the rest of creation. We're different than the rest of creation. Somewhat simple this morning. As I was planning this week, I thought, man, some very simple things to say. God created us. Most of you in this room, if not every one of you, knew that. You've heard that. You know that. Man, we were made in his image. Genesis 1:27. Probably a handful of us in this room have that memorized. God created us in his image, in his likeness. These aren't new things for a lot of us. Maybe some of us, and if so, I'm excited for you to sit in the newness. But as I thought through this morning, I thought, it's not that this is new to us, but it's what does this mean for us? And that's where I want to focus this morning. What I want to do is I want to take the rest of our time this morning, and I really want us to look inward. I really want us to look inside at ourselves. I want you to take a look at yourself this morning. I want you to slow down. I want you to see how whatever we're talking about matters. I want you to take this in this morning for yourself. Because as I said, and I'll tie it together more as we get to the end, I really believe there is no more powerful message for you as high schoolers to grasp than this. Because if you can grasp this, your life will change drastically. Drastically. So here's what I want you to do. Clear your hands again. Before you do that, turn to Psalm 139. Mark Psalm 139, because we're going to spend some time in this. And what I want to do the rest of this morning is I want to look inward, and I want us to kind of look at how and why does this matter to us? Why am I making such a big deal of this? Why am I saying that this is one of the more, if not the most important messages for us as high schoolers to grasp? So turn to Psalm 139, mark it, and now put it away somewhere. And I want you to sit, and I want you to listen. I want you to shut your eyes again. And I recognize for some of you, shutting your eyes is awkward and weird, and you don't like that we do this often. But shutting our eyes is a way to get distractions away from us and to focus. Before the printing press, the way that people heard scripture was they listened to it. Before we could read scripture, we listened to it. And listening is an incredible way to sometimes connect with the Lord. And so here's what I want you to do. Shut your eyes. Shut your eyes. And I'm going to read to you Psalm 139. And then you're going to open your eyes, and I'm going to point out a couple passages that I want us to spend some time with as we look inward to try to grasp this idea of what I'm talking about this morning. I want you to own Psalm 139 this morning. I want you to hear this, that this is written about you. I want you to imagine this. Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? And I abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. See, O God, if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Go ahead and open your eyes. Here's another passage where we see how valuable, how much worth and dignity we have. Guys, you are made so unique. You are made so special. I want you to take your pen and your bulletin, and you're going to see there's a blank line. And I want you to write these three words. I want you to write them in all caps. I want you to own them. I am valuable. I am valuable. I want you to look at your Bibles as you turn to Psalm 139, and I want you specifically to go to verse 13 through 16. And I want you to take 30 seconds. I want you to highlight these verses in your Bible. I want you to underline them, and I want you to sit with these verses, with these four verses, for just a minute. I am valuable. You are valuable. Sit on verses 13 through 16. Highlight these in your Bible. Underline it. Spend a minute just in these four verses. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. He created your inmost being. He knit you together. We get to praise him because we were made fearfully and wonderfully. Our works, his works are wonderful, and we know that. Our frame wasn't hidden from him. His eyes saw our unformed body. All the days ordained for us were written in his book before one came to be. I want you to hear this. You have value. It doesn't matter what has happened to you in the past. It doesn't matter what people or a person has done to you. It doesn't matter what grades you get, your body's makeup, how athletic you are, your social status, your economic class, or anything else. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you come from a background of abuse and neglect. It doesn't matter if you come from a background of tremendous money. It doesn't matter if your grades stink or are so good that you're going to Harvard. It doesn't matter. We are valuable because of whose we are. That is what gives us value. Not our grades, not our body, not our words. What gives us value is who painted us. I am valuable. As we look inward, here's the question that I want you to think about. What's keeping you from believing this? That if you struggle with this, and I'm not claiming that all of us do, I am assuming that we all have, and we all go through seasons of this. That all of us go through seasons of feeling like, man, I have no value. Maybe it's a season when we're receiving a lot of critique. Maybe it's a season when we get cut from a football team or a sports team. Maybe it's a season where our parents actually tell us we have no value. We all feel this at some point, I would imagine. And so in that season, what's keeping you from believing this? Is it that you still don't believe the creation account? That you just don't believe that it's true? And so maybe we need to step back and look at that. Is it because of something that someone's done to you that you think of, how in the world could I have value? I'm just broken pieces. Is it something that you've done that you think, there's no way I could have value? I've done these things that nobody knows. I've got secrets that if people knew, there's no way they could see me with value. What's keeping you from believing this? Why is this hard for you to own? You are gosh darn precious. Precious. You are valuable. And then as we look inward, I also want us to write down, bold, cap, underline, highlight, others are valuable. Others are valuable too. Keep the Psalm 139 passage marked, because I want us to jump into verse 23 here in a second. But before we do that, I want you to turn to James chapter 3. If you don't know where things are in your Bible, never be afraid to go to the table of contents. Mark these things so you can use these verses on Wednesday if needed. Interact with God's word. It's the authority of our lives. It is a divine book. It's so important for us to go to God's word. James chapter 3. As we look at others being valuable as well, I want us to look at this verse, and then I want us to go back to Psalms, and I want us to kind of look into this as we just looked into our own value. But now I want us to look into the value of others. James chapter 3, James is writing this to a church who's kind of needing some encouragement. There's some disunity. They're mistreating the poor and the wealthy and all sorts of stuff. And here's what James says in this part where he's talking about the tongue. We went through James last year, so a lot of us are familiar with this book. Here's what he says. Verse 9. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. So we're seeing this again, this reminder of human beings are made in God's likeness. But with our tongues, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we also curse other human beings who have been made in God's likeness as well. Out of the same mouth came praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. We're all made in God's likeness, but we don't treat everyone with value. Every human you come into contact with has some value and dignity, has tremendous value and dignity, has the same value and dignity as each of you, as each of us. But why don't we always treat others with that same value? Doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, lesbian, rich, poor, disabled, talented, crazy, homeless, brilliant. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Others are valuable too. Last verse we're going to go to is back in Psalms. So flip back to your passage in Psalms, Psalm 139. This is an incredible passage for you guys to sit with often when you need to remind yourself that you're valuable, that nothing else matters in your value besides that God made you. Psalm 139, I want you to look at verses 23 through 24. So two of my favorite verses. He talks about knowing us. He created us. There's nowhere we can run without him being there. And the psalmist ends this with a prayer, with a call, with a cry out to God. He says this, search me, God, and know my heart. God, you know me, you built me, you created me, I can't run from you. Will you search my heart because you know my heart? Test me and know my anxious thoughts. God, would you see if there's any way in me that's not right? And would you lead me back towards you? The reason why I want to go back to that verse is because I think this is the prayer we can pray when we ask the question of, do I see others as valuable? I want you to think of this morning. Who in your life do you tear down with your words who you need to see as valuable? I would encourage you to take that Psalm 139 prayer from verses 23 and 24 and pray this. I'm going to get the lights dimmed. I'm going to slowly get the worship team to make their way up in just a second. Worship team, you can stay there for now. And I want you to pray through this right now. God, search my heart. God, you know me. You knit me together. There's nowhere I can run. God, would you help me understand right now who in my life I'm not treating as valuable? God, who in my life am I tearing down with my words? James talks to the church and he says, your guys' tongues and your words are brutal. You're tearing people down. But you're tearing people down who were made in God's likeness, who were made in value. We use our mouths to praise the God who created us, and then we also use our mouths to devalue those who are valuable. I would imagine that if many of you were honest, it'd be mom, it'd be dad, it'd be brother, it'd be sister. That's probably core for a lot of us in this room. For some, it may be our best friend. For some, it may be a teacher. Maybe it's someone that doesn't even know we're devaluing them, but we just can never talk to them. We gossip about them. Who is it that was created in the same likeness and image that has the same value as you that you're tearing down? And maybe as we worship this morning, maybe you need to just sit with the Lord and say, man, do I need to apologize? Do I need to just change my behavior towards them? I want to end with parts of something that a good friend of mine's dad told him that I think is a really important thought for us to sit with this week. It's this: if we can grasp who we are and whose we are, then the life we live on earth will drastically change. Good friend of mine's dad, when he would send his son off, he would look at him and he would look in his eyes and he would say, don't forget who you are and whose you are. My friend said his dad would repeat this to him over and over and over again. Because if we know who we are, not who other people want us to be, not who we think we are, not who we want to be, but who we are, image bearers of Christ, and whose we are, that we're his, that he is our daddy, it can change the way you live on earth drastically. If I have one hope for my daughter, it's not where she goes to college, although it'd be great if she went somewhere cool. It's not what she does athletically. It's not how popular she is. There's one hope I have for my daughter. It's that she would fully grasp who the heck she is and who she is. Because if she grasps that, then she knows that she is made more precious than any other part of creation. She doesn't have to live to please anyone anymore. Going to a party and getting asked to drink, you don't care if they laugh at you or not because you're not living for them. They're not your daddy. Your identity doesn't line up with what a teacher thinks of you, what a parent thinks of you, what the popular crowd thinks of you. Those things don't matter anymore because you're living for the person who created you. Who are you? If you can grasp who you are and whose you are, your life will change drastically forever. Will you guys pray with me as we transition into worship this morning? Heavenly Father, would we sit in this as we worship you this morning? A simple message. A message that I would assume 99% of us have heard. You created us. You created us in your image and your likeness. But man alive, the implications. Oh, the freedom that we could have if we really owned it. We wouldn't care so much about looking in the mirror. It wouldn't matter to us what we do or don't like about our bodies or what people think they do or don't like about us or who others want us to be or not to be. Those things don't matter anymore. Oh, gosh, the freedom, the pleasure, the anxiouslessness of feeling that we are yours. God, there are students in this room this morning that need to be reminded of their tremendous value. Those that sit in this room insecure, sad, feeling as though there is no way they could be worth anything. Oh God, would you just warm their hearts right now? Would you open their mind and their eyes that they are stinking beautiful? Oh, that they're more precious than any animal, any star. Our identity lies in you. God, would you be with us this morning? Would you remind us this morning, God? In your name, amen.
Just stay with us as we sing these last few songs. We're going to be playing Reckless Love for our first song.